Blog Talk Radio.
Nice, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, and welcome to Garage
Hello.
Talk Live. That is. Hi, Cynthia.
How are you?
Good. I've listened to a little Black Mamba, an Italian rock band, playing the Deep Purple song Highway Star, figuring we do motorsports, you drive that badass monster mutt Dalmatian, and...
Yeah, I love that kind of music.
Well, you know, it's an old classic, and I figured I seen somebody else do it. Now, there are two young ladies and a guy on the drums. You'll have to check them out. And these girls can play. I mean, it's not just the one girl singing. She's actually the guitar player. And the bass player's a young lady. Maybe I'll send it to your Facebook page and then private message or something.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you definitely should.
As a matter of fact, I'm trying to book them on the show as a entertainment special, you know. But trying to sync up with a room is kind of tough.
So last time I talked to you was like almost a year ago.
I know. It's like sometimes you're so busy, I know whether that's how hard is it to get a hold of you. This way we have some more stuff to talk about anyway.
Yep, it's been a pretty busy year for me, definitely. A lot of new project coming on.
Now that you've completed your welder's training, I thought you were going to be welding parts for your truck, and here you're putting out this nice artwork. I mean, is there anywhere anybody can buy it, or is it just for your own personal collection?
I pretty much do it for myself, to be honest. Right now, it's more for, you know, the passion of building stuff and welding. Definitely want to do a business out of it. I love welding chassis and stuff like that. So that's one of my future projects. Definitely want to open my own business, kind of furniture, metal stuff. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm still practicing a lot at home when I have some free time because it's I'm in my middle of my season right now, so I've been pretty busy. I'm on the west coast of the United States, so it's fun. The weather is kind of cold lately, but I enjoy it.
Well, it's kind of weird because I saw a video you posted of you in the light blue truck, and here it turns out it's Brianna Mann's truck that you were filling in for her. As I was watching all my motorsports on Sunday, I went from NASCAR to the NHRA on Fox Sports 1, and right after that was Monster Jam, and there was her little blue truck. And she did give a shout-out saying the thanks to you for filling in for her and helping her keep her point standing.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool experience when they called me and asked me if I want to fill in for the stadium. I mean, kind of no-brainer when you go from a little arena to a big stadium. I was really excited. It's kind of different to drive somebody else a Monster Jam truck. Kind of feel different, but I had so much fun. I mean, I think she was 5 or 6 in point, and we went all the way to 4th place. So we had some really, really good freestyle. We got 2 overall, 2nd place in freestyle. So it was kind of cool to get to beat Gravedigger and Max D. So it was a good feeling, definitely. I had a lot of fun. The fans were amazing. Definitely want to be in stadium next year.
Yeah, you kind of have a little more room to spread out, so to speak, on your runs.
Yeah.
And, they did have the your sister or brother truck, the Monster Mutt Rottweiler, out there. So that was like,
yes.
I saw the Monster Mutt part, and I couldn't make out the last word because I'm watching like 3 different screens, and there was, it's the Rottweiler one.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, this tour especially have some of the best drivers. So, I mean, we had Tal LeDuc, we have Neil, we have Adam Anderson. So it was not an easy tour. So for me, I was like, I'll just use this experience to just get better. But definitely worked my way. I mean, when you get to beat them, it's definitely a good feeling. They were cheering for me. I was cheering for them. I definitely cannot wait to do it again.
Now, what's the difference between your arena series and the stadium series? Outside, it's a whole bunch of different drivers, and the venue's a lot bigger.
Yeah, really different, yeah. So in my arena tour, we actually raced three different vehicles. I raced the ATV, I raced the Monster Jam Speedster, and the Monster Jam truck. So it's three different things. You have to be good in all of three. So it's definitely challenging, way more physical. You have to be really good, in good shape, I would say. We can do 3 to 6 show a weekend. Compared to stadium, is usually 1 to maximum 2 show a weekend. So a little bit different. We drive way more. And I feel like even if most fans think that stadium is a lot of skill, I feel like arena is way more skill because you have to do so much better in such a little place. And we work so hard. I mean, we get those Monster Jams and on their feet, definitely. I mean, the sport's been getting out of control. I mean, we've been doing all those stuppy, those moonwalk, those two-wheel skill. It's insane.
I know. It's pretty amazing what you could do with those things. And like the donuts,
yeah,
the wheel
definitely.
Stands. And it's
yep.
How much time do you have to practice to get that down? I mean, you just don't go in there on a weekend and punch the pedal and do it. How much of your weekday spent getting used to that?
Yeah. I mean, a normal week for me, I usually I leave on Thursday. So I'll leave home on Thursday, travel all day because I travel from Canada all the way to the West Coast. Get there really late. Usually on Friday morning we have media. We don't really get to practice. We usually get to do like one lap just to shake the truck a little bit. And usually on Friday night, we got a show. We got a show Saturday. We got a show Sunday. And on Monday, I get to travel back home, get there Monday night, and give me Tuesday and Wednesday to do my my laundry and kind of relax a little bit. But in my case, it's been pretty busy. I got a TV shows on Zone VL at home. Pretty nice. I mean, I get to drive all kind of different vehicles, so keep me busy.
You have a TV show, huh? You never told me about that. How long has this been on?
So we started at the end of last year. So it's in my garage. I actually get to receive a lot of different people, expert on all kind of different motorsport. We talk about a lot of the new model for the new year. Lately I just been testing a lot of snowmobile. Next week I'm going to the snow shoot in Yellowstone. So I'm pretty excited. First time I get to go there. So, it's pretty cool. It's kind of different. Sometimes you jump from, Monster Jam truck to a snowmobile. I feel like, more you get to drive and better you get, even if it's not in a Monster Jam truck, if you get more seat time in anything, it definitely help you.
Wow. Now, you said I thought you were living down here in the United States. I thought you moved from Canada.
Yeah, so my house is actually in Florida, but you never know how your life can go sometimes. You know, I have my house in Florida, and I thought my plan was to be there, but with the TV show, it kind of opened another opportunity, and it's so good to be back with my family. I still have the house in Florida. I keep it for vacation, I guess, for now. I'm just waiting to see what's next, you know. There's always something new. Last weekend I was with Jesse Combe, and we were kind of traveling the Ontario with Discovery, all kind of place. So that was a cool experience. So I feel like there's always something new coming up. So make my life pretty exciting and make me single.
Make you single? Does that mean you're available?
People see all the good side of everything, but we do a lot of sacrifice. I mean, we definitely have a different kind of lifestyle than everybody else, and I make a lot of sacrifice to be where I am right now. So, but I love it. I don't regret anything. I enjoy every moment of my life. And, maybe I'll have a family later. But right now I'm more concentrated in all my racing.
Well, that's the way to be. And you know what? Truthfully, do what's best for you now and enjoy it, because you only live once.
Exactly. And I don't think we all met to have the same life. You know, I have my sister who has 3 kids, got married young. I'm just a completely different breed, I feel like, and that's okay. I accept her lifestyle. She accepts my lifestyle, and that's how it works. When you travel as much as we do, it's different.
Well, truthfully, as myself, my wife and I, we have no kids by choice. And when you do that and you get to be the aunt or the uncle, you could always give them back, you know? It's like, okay, give them back.
Totally true. And what's so much fun too, I'm always trying to find a new challenge in my life. A lot of people doesn't know, but after a show, I stay with the dirt crew and I work on all those caterpillar machine. I drive the loader, I drive the skid steer, and I help them all the dirt out of the arena. And I've been doing that for 2 years, and I feel like, you know, I'm trying to tell all the girls, you know, to the show that girls can do it too. I mean, no matter what you want to do, you may have to work way harder, but everything's possible.
This is true. I mean, look at motorsports, the all sorts of motorsports. NASCAR, it's a little tougher for the ladies to get going, but you look at the NHRA, yep. And you have the Force girls, who Brittany won the championship in Top Fuel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's no small thing. Maybe you ought to get into trying that little bit more of a challenge.
Yeah, I'm always willing to try all kind of new motorsport. And, you know, there's Deegan's daughter who just started, I think, in NASCAR, and I think she's a really good racer. I cannot wait to see her all... You know, in the next couple of years, I think she's going to be in the front. So I'm excited about that. It's always cool to see girls in motorsport. I'm always seeing more as we try to support each other. If I would race against each other, I would definitely be more competitive. But you know, out of the track, we're all friends, try to support, I guess, each other. But on the track, it's game on. No matter if you're a girl or a guy, we want to win.
Yes, that's it. And the vehicle you drive is the equalizer, so it's not so much the person behind the wheel that has a lot to do with it as far as controlling it, but, you know, it evens the playing field to where you can compete against men and not have to worry about being physically outperformed, like in track and field or something.
Exactly, and what's so cool is sometimes there's people who kind of miss the beginning of the show, so they don't even know we're girls, you know, driving. And after they come to autograph, they're like, I cannot believe, you know, it was a girl driving. Like, you're so good and everything. So it's kind of funny how people could think we would do, you know, bad because we're a girl. But it's actually fun when they tell us how they're surprised and how they're impressed. So we definitely have work to do. I mean... out there, but girls been doing pretty good in the sport I'm doing. Girls have been winning a lot of overall and a lot of races, so I think it's pretty cool.
Speaking of ladies in sports, did you catch any of the Olympic women's hockey battle?
Yeah, I try. I mean, I'm on the road a lot, so I kind of catch a little bit out of it. I was kind of happy there's a lot of Canadian winner out there. I was kind of sad that we lost in the hockey against the Americans, but I mean, overall, I'm pretty happy. I know how much work they're putting to get where they are, and I mean, when you lose after all the effort you put, it's probably terrible, but you know, just to be there, I think it's already amazing. So
what got me, the intense rivalry, obviously the intense rivalry between our two countries, even though you might call this part your second home and that's your first home. But I was surprised that I didn't catch to see much of it. But what I did see is, like, how physical the women were playing against each other. It was, like, Man, yeah. It looks like a men's game. I think it's time for a women's hockey league as well as the NHL.
Yeah, definitely. That would be awesome. I mean, especially in Canada, we have a lot of ladies. Definitely a big passion out here.
Well, there is a friend of mine that lives out in Las Vegas. She's one of the instructors for Spring Mountain Motorsports in Las Vegas. In driving schools, and she's in looking into getting into her racing. And she actually plays defense in ice hockey, you know, on the side. It's not like professionally or anything like that. But, you know, we keep giving each other a hard time about her being a defense person and me being a winger. So I used to play back in my younger days about, 40 years ago.
That's awesome.
But it's a better sport than football or basketball or baseball. So.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Sometimes I don't understand how they do to not have bruises all over their body. I mean, just doing what I do, I feel like every week I have new bruises coming up. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then, you know, so you're out on the West Coast now. Following the points,
yep.
Like after watching the Monster Jam last night, you're forcing the points
I was second for a little while, and when I had to miss 2 weeks and to go fill for Brianna, I kind of lost a lot of points. I went all the way to, you know, third and fourth place and everything, but you know what? I kind of stopped looking at points as much as I want to win. I really want to just improve, and I want to give the best show for the fans, because I feel like when I was trying to think too much about the point, I was just doing worse. So right now I'm just trying to have fun. I'm just trying to improve. You know, the leader is way far ahead. So right now the goal is pretty much just to enjoy my time, try to find new tricks, kind of have cool video, cool picture, and make people happy. I think that's one part of our job. I mean, as much as I'm a competitive, at the end, we want to give the best show for the fans. I think it's in any sport. Without the fans, we could not do what we do. So
that's for sure. And they have what they were showing, you know, everybody outside in what they call the pits, and the fans all come up and get to meet you and take pictures and all that.
Yeah.
And that's what.
It's special.
You know, where you get
there's not that many sports that does that too. It's so big. Like, there's not that many sports that you get to meet the competitor. You know, if you go see a hockey game, you don't really get to see the player. So it's something really special that the fans get to be so close from us. And I think that's what makes the sport so big. I mean, we're all around the world. And I heard this year we're going to all kind of different places.
Cool. Now, you own your own team, Pink Sprocket, and then you just build the truck and Monster Jam sanctions you out? Is that how it works? Because there's like Grave Digger in every division and things like that.
So, no, not really. The way it works is that Monster Jam actually have around 50 to 60 trucks. So they own a lot of truck. They still hire a lot of independent people that have their own truck. So I actually don't own my own truck. I'm actually a flying driver. So I don't get to work on it, but, actually I love to learn. I love to help my crew guy when I can. So, it's a different, I mean, I think other sport does that too. They have a team and they have, the driver just come, for the race. I think it works better because being on the road nonstop, I don't think I could perform the way I am right now.
I understand. Here's what I think. Now, your TV show, is it on a local channel or are you on like cable or satellite? Is it like something I could watch if I wanted to? Or
It's in French. So that's the funny part. It's in French and it's on a local channel in Quebec. But we're actually on YouTube, and so you can see all the TV show on YouTube and stuff. It is in French. I mean, there's a lot of action video of us on ATV, snowmobile, on the water, on a boat. So, I mean, it's still pretty cool to see, even if you cannot understand. But we want to become more international. I mean, next year I think we're talking to maybe do the whole TV show in English. It's still an idea in the air right now, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'm not too stressed about it. I think it would be cool, but as of right now, I'm pretty busy with Monster Jam, so I'm staying with them.
Right. Well, you can still tape in the off season and put it in the off season.
Exactly.
Well, I have a friend down here who is building a channel for Dish Network. That's why I was wondering, and maybe
awesome.
I could help you out.
That would be awesome.
I was wondering if I could see it. And what I'm offering you to do. If you want to post anything, videos or whatever, my Garage Talk Live Facebook page, feel free.
Perfect. I will. You know, I would like to drive multiple trucks the rest of my life, to be honest. But we'll see what happens. Maybe I could become a teacher for all the new drivers. But definitely love that sport. I cannot see myself.
It's definitely fun to watch.
Yeah, right? I'm actually filming today for the TV show, so you caught me right between scene. Kind of took a little break for you guys. But we're going testing some snowmobile in not too long, so the weather is nice. It's kind of sunny, not too cold, so I'm excited to try all those new Polaris snowmobiles. So.
Well, that's cool. I know that down here in southwestern Virginia in the mountains, they have a lot of ATVs, so we'll have to get some of your videos
awesome,
up.
And, yeah.
Do they run subtitles?
I mean, I don't think they do, but it's pretty easy to understand. I mean, the term are kind of the same from English, French, when you talk about mechanic. But, I mean, it's like I said, when you're in the kind of industry I am, all you want to see is more the vehicle in action. You don't really care so much about the blah, blah before. But, definitely I'll send some links for sure.
Well, that's cool. If you need an English-speaking co-host, I'm available.
Perfect. I'll definitely keep that in touch. Keep that in mind, sorry. But I have to let you go because they're waiting for me, I think, for getting on the snowmobile. But it was really nice to get to catch up again. And hope we get to do that more often than once a year.
Oh, definitely. You know, send me a text or whatever if you want to come on or whatever. Oh, and remember Kristen, who was co-hosting and got you first to join?
Oh, yeah,
come
sure.
on with us.
Yep.
I told her I'd say hi for her, so.
Perfect.
Because she's gonna listen to this after she gets done her job.
Perfect. I think there was a show close from you guys last week, right?
All right, Cynthia, thanks again for coming on. It's always great talking to you. And like I said, post anything on Garage Talk Live Facebook page, videos or whatever.
Okay, I will.
Everybody I know will get to look at it. And have fun taping today. And I'm going to check out actually post up the YouTube channel your show is going on. And we'll get everybody to go there and check it out.
Perfect. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you have Cynthia Gauthier, driver of the Monster Mutt Dalmatian, joining us. Thanks to Kristen Lee Brzezinski, who was my co-host at the time, and she took her son to see monster truck things at the arena, and she met Cynthia, and I missed that girl. I wish she could join us on the day show. Kristen, if you're out there, if you can make it happen sometime, give me a holler. If not, I'm definitely thinking of something on a Sunday night. I don't know how I'm going to do it. More of an entertainment thing, not so much motorsports. Well, I'll throw a couple things in. Anyway, special thanks to Cynthia. And there is a video on the Facebook page that I popped up on there. It was one of my old memories of her doing a donut. And She's awesome out there, and it's always good to have her on. Anyway, let's get back to the weekend's action. NASCAR in action. NHRA in action. Let's go there first. In the NHRA, John Force had a nasty wreck at the end of the race, running into Johnny Lindgren, and he had to go to the hospital to get checked out. He's all right. After 2 weeks with Brittany crashing, John's car blew up that day too, and then, of course, Sunday in eliminations, he did win his event, but when the car caught the finish line, it blew up and then wrecked, taking out Lindgren, and he was scheduled to race Courtney, his daughter, in the semis. But she had to take a solo pass, which put her in the finals. But anyway, in the starting at the top fuel, it came down to Steve Torrence and Scott Palmer. Torrence had to go through, who qualified number two, had to go through Steve Chrisman, and then Blake Alexander. And then he had to face Billy Torrence, who actually is his dad. And he beat his dad by 4/1,000ths of a second to go up against Palmer. And then he did take the win. Palmer was second. Leah Pritchett with the low ET turned a 3.67 with a 9. Best reaction time was Antron Brown in top fuel, and the top speed was Leah Pritchett at 333 miles an hour. She wound up losing to Scott Palmer, who went to the finals because she had a bad run in round two. So, last year at this time, she won two events. So, she's having a tougher time this year. As far as Brittany Force goes, let me see where she, I think she went out in round one as well. She knows she made it to round two. She ran, qualified 14th up against Clay Milliken, and then lost to Billy Torrence in the set. In round two, traction issues, she wound up at a 466, which is slow for top fuel, let alone a funny car. A funny car, let alone top fuel. And a 142 off the tree. Billy Torrence took that one at a 372 with a decent run. That one's a funny car. I'm going to find this out. The computer's acting up a little weird here. There we go. I hate when the computer acts up. Anyway, in the meantime, while I'm trying to get that all sorted out, so I used to print this stuff out back in the day, it would be already ready to go. Anyway, let's go to funny car. Turned out to be Courtney Force going up against Tommy Johnson Jr. in the finals. Emotional day for her. Her dad crashing and going back to the hospital. And last week with her sister. And she was scheduled to race her dad in the semis. Of course, she wound up going into the finals, taking Tommy Johnson Jr. and her first funny car win of the season. I would get to... And then in pro stock, it was Chris McGahey taking it over Jason Lyne. In the truck series on Friday at Atlanta, It was Brett Moffitt in the AISIN Toyota. The number 16, taking the checkered flag over Noah Gragson. Johnny Sauter was third. Ben Rhodes with the fourth spot. Matt Crafton in fifth. Stuart Friesen. Matt Snyder. Stuart Friesen sixth. Matt Snyder seventh. Jesse Little eighth. Grant Enfinger ninth. And Austin Dillon in the 20. I saw where he made it. I had pictures up with the GoShare Chevrolet. He rounds out the top 10. Parker Kligerman, who was actually doing some TV work last season, wound up in the 11th spot. Jennifer Jo Cobb, our pal, 30th, finished 26th. Josh Rayone driving the 33, who's in the 50. Travis Quapel. So Josh Rayome is out of the 50 this year. I'm going to call Amanda Beaver at Beaver Motorsports and find out what's going on. I've noticed I thought Travis was in there just for the Daytona, but looks like he was in there this week too. Anyway, it was Moffitt's second career victory. Five cautions for 24 laps and nine lead changes amongst drivers. Here's Brett Moffitt. His crew chief is Scott Zipadelli, and Shigeki Hatton is the owner, but we'll just get Moffitt.
I can have your attention here at the Media Center. We're now joined by the winning team for the 10th running of the Active Pest Control 200 NASCAR Camp and World Truck Series. Driver of the number 16 Eisen Toyota, Brett Moffitt. His crew chief, Scott Zipadelli, and the owner of Hattori Racing Enterprises, Shiggy Hattori. Gentlemen, first of all, congratulations on a tremendous finish. Great race. Brett, tell us what's going through your mind on that last restart.
With a 13 being on two tires, I didn't know if he was going to spin them or how good a start he was going to get. I knew we'd be able to launch harder. It seemed like our JGR motor, built by Mark Conquist, was really good on restarts. I was able to push Kyle to the lead on one, and I tried to on another, and he spun his tires and kind of got us back there in the pack a little bit. But we had a really good Tundra, and we were able to drive back by. But on the final restart, I was just trying to give him enough space to where if he did spin his tires, I could still get to the bottom. And, you know, luckily, once I got into one, I could clear him and clear Johnny, and they stayed side by side, and we were able to just drive away.
Scott, knowing how hectic late race restarts can be, what advice did you offer Brett before that last one?
Actually, I didn't give him a whole lot of advice. I told him he knew exactly what to do, and on Channel 2, I was talking to Brandon, our spotter, and that's the only option I think we have is to push the 13 and then Brett go to the bottom and go three wide and clear him, and he did exactly what I was thinking, so that plan turned out pretty well.
Excellent. And Shiggy, once he gets out front, how confident are you that he's gonna be able to seal the deal there and bring home the checkered flag?
Well, it's just so emotional. And then everybody, Scott and team manager, all members, did a really good job. And Brett, he did our first K&N win and then Chuck win. And
there you have the winning driver, crew chief, and owner. So Larry the Cable Guy was down at the track. I saw that. If we get to that, I'll play some of that. Anyway, in the Xfinity race, if that was any precursor to the Cup race, everything was moved due to weather, but they were able to get everything in. 163 lap event, 251 miles. I think they went a little over, but Kevin Harvick led four times for 141 laps. Both stages, bank in the field to take the checkered flag. Joey Logano second, Christopher Bell in the third spot. John Hunter Nemechek up in the Xfinity Series this year is in fourth. Elliott Sadler fifth. Justin Allgaier sixth. Two junior motorsports guys there. Seventh, Austin Cindric. Kyle Benjamin eighth. Ryan Truex ninth. Ryan Reed rounds out the top ten. Cautions for 21 laps, so it was a pretty fast pace. Nine lead changes amongst three drivers. And that was Bell. Logano led the first four. Bell led 5 through 16, and Harvick pretty much led most of the rest. 141 out of 163 laps. Bell led 12. Logano led 10. And that's all she wrote for that one. The playoff points, but Kevin doesn't get those. I wonder if they're going to the car because he was driving the number 98. And it's a Ford. So if it's Stewart Haas' car, then who knows how that's going to work. I don't think that's how it works, but margin of victory, 4.81 seconds. Now, if you remember last week's show, I had Sherry co-hosting, and I was going to go with Harvick because he led so many laps, and then I said, well, I got to go with mile and a half Marty. Even though at Atlanta, Martin Truex did wound up coming on the rest of the year, didn't have as good a run at Atlanta, as he did the rest of the mile and a half, so I kind of went with past performances throughout the track length because he ran pretty much one just about both stages and a lot of the races on the mile and a half. That's why I went with him, but I regret it and changing from Harvick. I would have looked like a genius, but that's how it goes sometimes. But anyway, Harvick taking the Xfinity Series race and then here's your winner, Kevin Harvick, and what he had to say on his dominating run.
We're now joined by the winner of the Rinnai 250, Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 98 Hunt Brothers Pizza Ford for Biagi d'Andessi Racing. Kevin, you dominated that entire race for the most part, and you've dominated here in the past. Can you tell us a little bit about how you go about doing so?
Well, I've been fortunate to be with really good teams, and as I've gone through the years, this is a racetrack that hasn't changed a whole lot and just fortunate to have things that work and know the feel that I'm looking for and, the times when, everything goes smooth and we don't have some crazy scenario or something happen, we've been fortunate to have some success. So they did a great job. It was just one of those days that you look back on and go, whoa, that was a lot of fun to be a part of. From driving the car to pit road and everybody that puts the effort in. This is not something that these guys have to do or Stewart Haas Racing has to do. It's strictly to go on the racetrack and win races. And I felt bad that we didn't do that last year, but this is a great way to start it off this year. We're 1 year into it, and Cole won the last race and we won this one, and so we're doing good.
Awesome. And up here with Kevin, we have a few folks. We've got crew chief Richard Boswell.
There you have it. Oh, I forgot to mention, in the points in the Camping World Truck Series, Johnny Sauter actually leads the points. But Brett Moffitt with the win. If he's running the full season, which I'm sure he might be, into the playoffs. So, and as far as the stages go, Noah Gragson took stage one, and Kyle Busch took stage two. So Gragson is listed as running for points. Kyle Busch doesn't get anything, but they have to take credit to it. I think last year they didn't. In the Xfinity Series, Elliott Sadler takes the points lead. Tyler Reddick has a win from Daytona. He's driving for Junior Motorsports, so he locks in. But according to the point here, that just moves him one spot ahead of Elliott Sadler. So you're looking at 12 drivers, with Sadler basically being in second, Ryan Reed in third, Truex, Spencer Gallagher, Christopher Bell, Justin Allgaier, Ross Chastain, Kaz Grala, Brandon Jones, Daniel Hemric, and Garrett Smithley are your 12. In the Truck Series, it's the top eight. And then the Cup Series, where you go for the top 16. But in the Cup Series, leading 108 times for 181 laps, taking six bonus points, playoff points, winning stage one, and the final stage, driver of the number four, Kevin Harvick, goes back to victory lane. Like I said, they said that he, up until the win today, he had led over 900 laps in the last five races there. Now, it only running one a year in Atlanta now, so without a win, and this was his first win in those five races. Like I said, I should have went with him last week. I went with my overall mile-and-a-half performance as opposed to who performed well at the tracks. Originally, I was going to go with Harvick, but I didn't. And anyway, he wound up taking the win. Brad Keselowski takes the second spot. Clint Bowyer winds up third. So you have Ford sweeping the top three spots again. I think they did that in Daytona as well. Denny Hamlin, first non-Ford in fourth. Martin Truex Jr. puts two Toyotas in a row in fifth. Of course, he led once for a lap, but then he wound up having pit problems and wound up a lap down. Did get that lap back, though, but it took him a while, and he didn't have, a good shot to move forward ahead of time. Joey Logano wound up sixth. Kyle Busch, seventh. Kurt Busch was your second most lap leader, leading three times. Was eighth, Kyle Larson ninth, and Chase Elliott rounds out the top 10. Kyle Busch started from the pole. And he led four times for nine laps. It was Harvick's 38th Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series win. Five cautions for 28 laps. It was supposed to be moved up to beat the weather, but the rain wound up pushing it back a few hours. So it kind of delayed me going to NHRA, and then, of course, Monster Jam after that. There's a lot of motorsports to watch on Sunday. 24 lead changes amongst eight drivers. Now in the points, they got Joey Logano listed points leader, but Austin Dillon and now Kevin Harvick are locked in the playoffs. So with Harvick having more points than Dillon, he would be first. Dillon would be second. Joey Logano's third. Ryan Blaney, then Denny Hamlin, then Clint Bowyer, Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Paul Menard, Eric Almirola, Kyle Busch, Brad Kay, 12th, Kyle Larson, 13th. Second place finisher, Darrell Wallace, to Bubba, 14th, and 15th, Michael McDowell. And right there at the cutoff point, Ryan Newman, and he's got a three-point lead over last week's pole sitter, Alex Bowman. So there are your playoff lineup as of now. It's only 2 weeks in, but anyway, that's how they stand. We'll go with your winner and the crew chief, Rodney Childers, and Greg Zipadelli, who is VP of competition for Stuart Haas. Remember when he was the crew chief for Tony Stewart in the 20 car? Well, he's now one of the head guys in the organization. And, you know, when it was Kreinefuss Haas, it wasn't that good of a team. And then when Tony Stewart got involved, it turned into a great team. Because he won his third championship with that team and is part owner now. He's got Kevin Harvick, who won a championship with him. Kurt Busch is still with him, and he's running real well. So who'd have thought that Kevin Harvick would have won his first championship with Stuart Haas instead of Richard Childress? It was the anniversary of his first win, because of as of the track of his first win, when he was tabbed to fill for the passing of Dale Earnhardt Sr. So he gave the number three tribute there. So with Austin Dillon winning Daytona in the three, 20 years from when Dale Sr. won it, and who'd have thought that 3 years later Dale Earnhardt would be killed at the track he loves so much and had the most wins at, except for the 500. And that day, even though he didn't win the race, he won as an owner because Michael Waltrip finished first and Dale Jr. wound up second. Senior was in line for third spot, fending off the competition so his drivers could get away, and that's when everything went wrong. So anyway, here's Harvick and the crew.
Pull up the seat, grab a donut, stay a while. Middle two is fine. So I can have your attention here in the media center and upstairs in the press. We are now joined by the race-winning crew chief of today's 59th annual Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500, and that is Rodney Childers of the number four Jimmy Johns Ford. And we also have Stuart Haas Racing Vice President of Competition, Greg Zipadelli. Rodney, I'm going to start with you. You unloaded with a fast hot rod here at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and it certainly dominated today. How comforting was it to have that kind of fast race car at your disposal to take this point to the victory?
Yeah, I mean, this has been somewhere that we've always worked on really hard. You know, I think everybody knows how good Kevin is here, and every winter we seem to work on this racetrack and be prepared as much as possible. You know, just put everything into it we can. And in all honesty, over the winter, you don't really know where you stand. You know, with all the stuff that had changed with the new scanning process and all, and we kind of would look at each other every week and just kind of wonder how we're going to be. And it was pretty awesome to come down here and all four cars have good speed. And, really just everybody did a great job all weekend of adjusting on it. And, we made it better every time we got on the racetrack and made it better going into the race. And got off a little bit in the middle of the race and got it going again there at the end.
Zippy, as Rodney mentioned, all four cars had speed here this weekend. Was this a race that Stuart Haas Racing had circled on the calendar, knowing coming in that you were going to have such a dominant run today?
God, and you circle them all because they're all important, right? I mean, that's what we do is we race. I'm just proud of everybody at Stuart Haas, and honestly, I know everybody says that, but the last year or so from the switchover this year with the Hawkeye and learning procedures and putting things in place, crew chiefs working together, everybody in our shop working to build good race cars, quality working on details, the people that we moved around in the shop to help hopefully prepare better race cars to get Rodney and those guys to just continue to work on and tinker with, and that's what they're great at. You know, they like to take them and find those little things, and I was just proud of everybody for our cars to unload and have speed. This is a place that's all about, you know, grip, and drivers got to like it. So, you know, it, by no means are we out of the woodwork, right? We're headed to Vegas, which is the complete opposite type of a racetrack next week. So, you know, we'll look at where we're at and judge ourselves again next week. But awesome win. They've led so many laps here. I can't speak for Rodney, but I know in my past it's kind of almost like a relief, right? It's like you got a driver that runs really good at one of those racetracks. It's like I just got to go win that. But to win this early in the season for these guys, so proud of them. Kind of gets the monkey off their back. You know, what they went through last year, could have won a bunch of them and just, circumstances and things. So just proud of everybody.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you.
I guess Kevin Harvick hasn't made it yet, so he's still doing his stuff there. Anyway, Larry the Cable Guy was available.
I would like to direct your attention to the stage. If I could, I'd like to introduce Frank Windsor, who is the Chief Operating Officer for Rinnai America Corporation. Rinnai is now in their second year sponsoring our Xfinity Series race. And Rinnai is also sponsoring Justin Allgaier in this afternoon's race in the number 7 Rinnai Chevy Camaro. So, Frank, why don't you just talk a little bit about the partnership Rinnai has here with Atlanta Motor Speedway and sort of what your goal for this weekend is.
Sure. We have this relationship started 2 years ago, and we've just been thrilled with what Atlanta Motor Speedway allows us to do. For those of you who don't know, not only the sponsorship of the race, but we're headquartered in Peachtree City, Georgia. We bring over 750 contractors to the area every year, and part of the visit to the area is to come out to the Speedway and drive race cars as part of the Rinnai experience. But what we did working with the Speedway was we have 19 installations around the racetrack of our product. So not only do the contractors get to come out and drive race cars, and it's like a thrill of the life, but it's also we get to teach them about our product. Today we'll have over 1,000 customers here, along with about over 300 of our own associates and their families.
I thought it was Larry the Cable Guy. That's how they had it billed in the audio file. Anyway, we're going to Vegas this coming week. As a matter of fact, the Camping World Truck Series will be out in Las Vegas on Friday. You can catch that one at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 1. Xfinity will be out there Saturday at 4 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, the Cup Series will be out there on Sunday. And that'll kick off at 3:30, a little later than everything else. So if you want to sleep in a little bit, you can. I don't think they'll have to worry about too much bad weather on that side of the country. So, and that'll be on regular Fox. You have the first, Daytona, Atlanta, Vegas, Phoenix. It's called ISM Raceway. And then Auto Club out in Fontana, all on Fox. And then come back east to about an hour and a half from my house at Martinsville, and that'll be the first Fox Sports 1, so we'll work on that. That'll be at the end of March, and spring will officially be here by then. Anyway, talking about Las Vegas, the only race of the year, maybe I should have switched it around, because Truex was your winner last year, leading 9 times for 150 of the 267 laps. So I should have went with Harvick last week, and I should have went with Truex this week. But Keselowski did well there, And the way the Fords have been going, it's kind of hard to bet against them. Jimmy Johnson led 19 laps. Johnson having a pretty rough year. Spinning Sunday, getting wrecked at Daytona. But, you know, his favorite tracks are coming up, which are usually Charlotte and Dover. So you can't count him out there. Anyway, who am I looking at this week? Do I want to go with Marty or do I want to go with Kez? I mean, Kez led 89 laps. It's basically a little over half the race that then Truex led the rest, or most of the rest. Does Marty get it back? Do I make the prediction that Marty goes for it? I should have won with Harvick last week. It's hard for me to pick the same guy 2 weeks in a row. So the way the Ford's been running, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'll probably regret it, but I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. So we're still looking at a mile and a half. It is a cookie-cutter track, Atlanta, Vegas, Charlotte. They're shaped the same, but anyway, Pennzoil 400. I'm going to go with, well, being Pennzoil sponsors Penske cars, and maybe it's a good thing I picked a Penske car. Anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for joining me. Special thanks to Cynthia Gauthier, driver of the Monster Mutt Dalmatian in the Monster Jam Arena Series. Always great talking to her. Hopefully she'll post up some videos of where to find her TV show on our Garage Talk Live Facebook page. Anyway, I'm your host, Vince Bonifigli. Good day and good racing. We'll see you all next week. Bye now.